for blessing us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you, Anthony. Let me turn my shock collar on. Be seated, please.
Now, I always call this my shock collar. All right. It's great to be here today. Pastor Tom is traveling and being with his family, and so glad he's able to do that. And I'm glad to be here this morning. I want to just start by saying that Mo Wilson and Vivian wants the church family to know thank you for the response last week. As we send them off to, they're going to live with their son, Myron. He is going to be taking care of them and loving on them. And I know, boy, that's going to be a great reunion up there. I have lived, and maybe many of you have lived apart from your parents, and it's a great opportunity to express your love. But as we sent them off last week, members of, I forgot how many years they said they were here, but just begin, continue to pray for them and receive their thanks. Let me start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, as already been said in both praise and prayer, that for your love that is poured out on us. Father, you have given us faith, you've given us grace, you've given us all the things we need to know you and to enjoy the life of being saved by your Son Jesus, being adopted into the family of God, and we rejoice in that now. And Lord, let our happiness, let our joy be favorable in your ears and in your heart. And may your grace and faith abound in our life, abound and abound and abound. For you are worthy, in Christ's name, amen. What comes to your mind when you hear that a church is having revival? You don't have to answer me, okay? It's just kind of rhetorical. But I thought of many ways of introducing this sermon. I almost played a hymn, because when I hear that a church is having revival, one of the first things that comes to my mind is a song. Guess what song it is? Send, Lord, okay, that's another. Lord, send a great revival in my heart. Yeah. And that, at least, you know, that's an old hymn. And if you Google the hymn, which I did, because we don't sing it anymore. It's a song that has, it's fallen out of our repertoire. And it has some good things in it. But there is one verse that kind of points back to some things that I think that help at least my generation or the people that in my circle to think that revival meant two things. And I think the song kind of led that. There's some great verses in it, but there's a couple of verses that kind of led my circle to think that revival is something you do. If you put it on the calendar, it'll happen. I'm sorry, it's just, and I pastored, and I never felt like that. I knew it was something more than that, but I fell into sometimes the rut that just said, you know, let's put it on the calendar and see what happens, you know. I have to confess that. The other thing that in my circle often was, and I think not right, not only is it, it's not something you just put on the calendar, but it's something that God does. And then the other thing is that revival somehow in my circle meant it was for the lost. And it was evangelistic crusades mainly. And when I look at that, I think, well, what is revival if it's evangelistic crusade? I guess it could be thinking about that God, that you're revived and you're evangelizing. But as I look in this passage today, I think I see a new idea of revival. That revival is something that God does, and it's for God's people, not for the lost. It is God reviving his people. You revive something that has been there but's not there, and it's a revival. Today I want to present and I think from the biblical text, it's something that can be kind of summed up, and I'll just kind of go ahead and give a summary, 3 points, but we won't be preaching through the 3 points. But I think from our pastor today, at least I have learned that revival is the sovereign work of God's grace among his people. That's what I'm saying this morning. That's what I want to transmit. Now, I know there is evangelistic revivals. I believe there's a place and a time for that. If God moves on that to happen, so be it. But I want us to understand today, too, that revival is a sovereign work of God's grace among his people. And that revival is a response of God's people to their covenant relationship with him. When God's people understand the covenant relationship, the response to that is revival. A revival that is life-changing, is a multiplication of what God's already done. It causes grace to abound and abound in our lives. And the third thing is that revival is still at work. It's still at work. And God does this revival. It's a God thing. Even today, God is doing it among his people. Revival is for God's people. Now, the word revival doesn't appear in the text that I'm going to be reading. You don't read the word revival, okay? But the concept is there in the way that I'm talking about revival. The word we can see in, well, let me do this too. Your pew Bible, I don't have any slides. If I had any slides, it would just be turned to page 380, 381 in the Bible, in your pew Bible. But you can also turn, if you have your Bible, is 2 Chronicles 29, and that is on page 381, actually 380, and it goes into 381. So, okay, let's get that settled. So the word revival isn't mentioned, but the concept is. Like, for example, in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 35, the idea that we see this, and it says the 35b, if you look at on page 381, you see in 2 Chronicles 29, 35b, you see the idea there. Thus the service of the house of the Lord was restored. So it talks about a time of restoring something that had been lost. And that's what we're going to look at today. That's kind of the guiding idea of this revival. Read the whole verse. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had provided for his people, for the thing had come suddenly. What thing? Thus the service of the house of the Lord was restored. So that's the concept, even though the word is not said directly. The idea of revival to me is the result of God restoring what has lost. And that result is our expression, I think, in what we read this morning, that Anthony read, is our response to God restoring what was lost is revival, the revival of God's people. I'll use the word revival to express that result, right? Of accessing God's transforming grace daily through the means that he has given to us, to his people, to grow in faith and grace. Let me just try to word that a little bit less choppier. So the revival is that result of God's people accessing God's transforming grace daily through the means that he has given to his people to grow in faith and grace. God has given to his people. not to everybody all over the world, but to his people. He has given means by which we can grow strong in faith and grace. And when we access this, when God's people access what he's made available to grow strong our faith and the work of grace in our life, our response to that, I see as a revival. So revival is something God does, and it's for God's people. So this type of revival brings great joy and hunger of God's word. There's some results to this kind of revival. Great, we just read it in this text. I wish we could have. I'm not putting Anthony down, but I wanted him to shout it out and read this as glorious as it sounds. It's so black and white in ink, but if you'll go back over this verse and this chapter, you'll see there was something incredible going on. Matter of fact, in this text later in chapter 30, it says nothing like this had happened before in Israel. God had done something, a revival had brought it, that it hadn't been seen before. As they responded to the means that God had given his people to grow in grace and faith. So that's what I see in this text today. I see from this text that revival can happen to those who are in the best of spiritual conditions, but also to those who are in the worst of spiritual conditions. Now, that doesn't make sense. Now, I'm still talking about God's people, okay? Let's keep it there. But I believe revival can happen to those that's in the best of spiritual conditions. I'm going to go already let the cat out of the bag, but I think we'll see revival here at the Hills Church. I really do. I'll share a little bit more. But, you know, you don't have to be only down in outers. Matter of fact, in preparation for this text, I looked at the New Testament and the early church, the new century, after Pentecost, and how the church kept exploding in revivals. And it was not because they lacked these things, but it's because they had access what God had given them to grow in faith and grace. They met with the disciples, they met in worship, they fellowshiped, and on that's another sermon. But it happened. So what I'm saying is, let's don't be afraid of revival because that's only for those who are, you know, are falling out away from God and they need restoring. No, God's revival can bring an outpouring of more and more of God's grace and faith to strengthen our life to be all that he saved us to be. Now, it can happen, and we see this is the case of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, is that it can happen in the worst of spiritual conditions. And that's what we pick up here. But I'm not going to preach about Acts, but I just wanted us to know it's not just for those who have fallen away from God. It can be a means to add upon, to abound in grace more and more. But, and I don't know where you're at today. You may be a believer and you have your spiritual condition is not what it used to be. And you lack it, you know it, you earn it. I want to say revival is available to you. But you who have already experienced, you're in revival, you can abound and abound and abound more in grace as God pours out his mercy and grace in us through the means that he's given us. And that's, we want to focus on the means. You'll hear me use the phrase, God restoring to his people access to the means of strengthening their faith in God's grace that is at work in them. Now, what do I mean? The grace that saves a person, This is a grace that saves a person is also freely available and necessary to be transformed into all the person that God has saved you to be. You know, grace is at work in our lives. It's not just a one-time event of saving grace. That's where I'm going with this. We have saving grace. And I praise God. Man, the saving grace is preached from the pulpit. Matter of fact, a little mention of Fall Festival. We're going to invite people. And I want you to come be a part of that. And I am so glad that when I invite people to the Hill Church, I know they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear it right and they're going to hear it good, you know. So I'm so glad that we have that. We have that in our church. What do I mean? Saving grace saves a person, is also available to each one of us to and is necessary to be transformed. So we need access. We need to access this grace and faith in our life to be transformed into the people that God wants us to be. The unmerited grace of salvation that comes through faith in Jesus' sacrificial death and his resurrection is a gift. That's what the word grace means. It's a gift. You don't earn it. It is there. This grace that I'm talking about that strengthens us and makes and gives us, as we apply it to our lives, the strength to be all that God saved us to be, is also a free gift available to God's people. Not everybody in the neighborhood, but God's people. He has made ways to access his grace to grow our faith and his work in our lives. Ephesians 2:8-9 reminds us that by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. God's grace that saves us and keeps us is not earned. But we can access it to keep us growing strong. You know, that I think sometimes in my own life as a Christian, when I heard the word grace, I just thought of saving grace, which is, I don't want to get too much dividing up. I think there, and we have heard great preaching and teaching on grace. But grace is more than the saving grace that's available through that saves us as a gift. Is also available to continue to work in our lives. It's not just a one-time deal. And our response to that is revival in the truest sense, whether we are adding to what God's already done or starting over and restore what God wants to bring back into our lives. The aspect of grace that I'm emphasizing this morning is the ongoing gracious act of God working in us, without which we can do nothing. Another way to describe this would be the abiding life of the branch. In John 15:5, Jesus says, "You are the branch, I am the vine, you can do nothing apart from me." This is what I'm saying. The grace that saves us continues to flow in our vine. What if the vine only gave sap to the branch one time a year? It wouldn't make it. But it's not. It's a continual releasing of the sap into the branch that brings forth fruit. It's the continual release of God's grace in our life that brings forth fruit. He'll do it in your life. He wants to, he loves to, for us to bear fruit. And he has given us means by which to access this that is seen in this text. The Apostle Paul also saw this. He said, he didn't say, man, I'm the man that I am because of my hard work and I pull myself up by the bootstrap. He said, no, it's God's grace that's at work in me. It was God's grace on me that has brought me to be I am who I am by the grace of God, he said. God's grace is actively and continually working in the lives of God's people. But we can be given means by which to apply it. I have found the idea of spiritual disciplines or habits of grace to help me grasp the idea, the concept that I'm sharing here. Spiritual discipline is a more, it's a way that many books have been written. You can find books on spiritual discipline. It's how to order your life so that you are making access for God's grace to penetrate into your heart and to bring that life-giving sap of grace and faith to grow and grow and grow. I like Davis Matthews calls it habits of grace. And you know, I like that. And I found it helpful in my life to look at accessing God's marvelous grace to make my faith strong and the worthy faith that God is, the faith that God is worthy of, as habits in my life. And listen, we all form habits. We all do it. I want to say to this, man, the habits of grace, of making an intentional part of who you are, is seeking the release of God's grace into your life to grow you strong in faith. And God's given us this accesses. And the question that's being begged, the question is, are you accessing that transforming faith and grace that God has made available to his people? If you're a child of God, are you accessing what God has made available for his people to grow in faith and grace? If not, you can. If not, you can. If you are accessing it, I want to say to you, let faith and grace abound more and more in your life. Let it overflow into the pew in front of you and the pew behind you, in the grocery line, in the line waiting at school, or behind that driver that's driving you crazy. All right, I'm not going to be funny because this is God's word and it's powerful, and I'm not that funny anyways. I've already been told that by a few people. But let grace abound more and more in your life. From our text today, I'm going to have to move quickly, but that is my last name. I said I wasn't going to try to be funny, didn't I? Okay. From our text today, I want us to see that see some of the means by which the transforming power of God's grace can be accessed into our life and bring revival personally and to our church. All right, I already let the cat out of the bag, but it's in my notes, so I got to repeat it. And I want to, really. I believe the Hills Church is in revival. I really do. And I have been to a lot of revivals that's been put on a calendar, and it never happened. We were just there waiting to see what's happening. But I believe we're in a revival that has been going on and growing for 40 years or more. It's been growing. It's been growing, and it's still growing. I hear revival in people's testimonies. Met a person in the parking lot the other day, and my heart rebounded and pounded harder when I heard his testimony, how he sees God working, sovereignty of God working in his life. I hear it in the people's testimonies. I sense it in worship and singing and prayer. Amen? Amen. I hear it in groups of Bible studies. Oh, I feel, man, when I go around and visit some of the Bible studies and the Bible studies on Sunday morning, I see revival is happening among God's people. Man, I see it in the Bible. I hear it in the preaching. I praise God for the preaching, the leadership and preaching that God has blessed this church with. I hear it in the deacons. When we gather, We're in revival. When you can praise God, and this morning I walked in and I saw the praise team praying. We're in revival. God's grace, we're accessing the means of God's grace, and it is abounding in our life and bringing in the results of that abounding grace, strengthen our faith, is I think, revival. That's what this verse was reading. They were responding to what God had opened up to them now, and their faith was being restored, the grace was flowing, and they responded with hallelujah, praise God, count me in, I'm all in, I want to go all the way, I'll never turn back, he loves me, he saved me, he is worthy of my whole heart. That's what they were saying. Our text gives us the summary of the revival. Well, I'm going to move on, because we need to get through. But I wanted to share with you that it wasn't always this way in Judah. This is particularly taking place in Judah. And earlier, you can see on page 379 in chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, that Uzziah had been king, and he did not walk in the ways of the Lord, and he did evil. Now the new king who lived during the old reign, and this King Uzziah had ruled corrupt, godless rule for 16 years. And this is what Hezekiah, the new king now that God was using to restore access to all that God had given his people. Verse 6 of chapter 29 says this: "For our fathers have been unfaithful and have gone away, have done what is evil in the sight of the Lord. They have forsaken him and turned away their faces from the habitations of the Lord and turned their backs. They've shut the doors and the vestibules, and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of God came on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of horror and astonishment, and made them astonishment and hissing as you see in your own eyes." He was saying, "Look around, guys. This is what Isaiah." has done to Judah. He has shut up the access. He's taken away from us the access of means by which God's grace flows freely, strengthening our faith. When that shut down, their spiritual life died. Their revival was none. And that's what happens. Listen, if we're not accessing what God has given us to grow our faith strong, it'll wither. I'm not saying it will die, but it sure won't grow. God has given us access, and he wants us to know that revival, that joy and that excitement that his life brings to those who trust him. So Hezekiah comes on board, and things began to happen. God's grace for his people was still available to them to access, even though Ahaz, the older king that ruled 16 years, closing the temple, shut down the lamps, meaning they no longer worshiped in the Holy of Holies. They no longer read Scripture. They no longer came to worship and bow to humble themselves before God with offerings. Even though that had happened 16 years, God's grace was still available to them. And God sent revival. The revival began because God put Hezekiah on the throne to restore the means of growing in faith and grace that is always available to God's people. Not only in Hezekiah's day, but it's available to you and me. But it had been closed off by Isaiah. Hezekiah became an example. The new king became an example of God's grace to his people. Look at chapter 29, verse 10. We read, that Hezekiah said this to the people. Now, it is in my heart to make a covenant with God, with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order to turn away his fierce anger away from us. So we see that Hezekiah, God used him to be an example of this revival that was coming and the access that was needed and necessary for to receive all the grace and the faith that God was wanting to renew in his people. Him saying this now is in my heart tells us that his commitment to having and keeping a covenant relationship with God was a deep and personal, sincere decision. So I want to say to you, me and you this morning, as I go move a little quickly through these accesses, that God's given you and me, is available to you and me today, to have revival, whether it's a revival to restore what's not been happening in your life, or to abound and abound even more in God's grace and faith. So we see the importance here that Hezekiah brought to the people of understanding covenant relationship. And this is a king. And it also, you know, this points out that repentance and a humble heart is a means for God's grace to bring revival to his people. So understanding a covenant relationship with God is important for us to access what it means to be in relationship with God. God started understanding that our relationship with God is a covenant relationship has been a means of revival that I see in the church here at the Hills. Over the years, our pastors have preached about the covenant relationship with God happening. And it's been growing and growing. The leadership has mentioned that they've laid out diligently the covenant relationship with God through Jesus is a covenant of grace. And that is important. Listen, why do we hear so much about it? Because it accesses us understanding this covenant relationship. It's like opening a door for more of God's grace and faith to abound in our life. Because when we understand covenant relationship, we understand that we get in this relationship what we don't deserve by grace. We get salvation. We get access to God Almighty. We become his family, things we don't deserve. And then also, we don't get what we do deserve. You know, you've heard that. But this is the covenant relationship with is an access to opening our hearts to God's grace. Because when we understand covenant relationship, what am I saying? I'm saying, listen, when the preacher's up preaching and we're in Bible study and we study these things about covenant relationships, they have a purpose. Don't say, well, that's just old history. Listen, it means that God wants to have a covenant relationship with you that opens your heart up and humbles yourself to Almighty God. You're the lesser of this covenant relationship, and God pours out his grace, and man, that can bring revival when you understand it. That's access. So don't give up. If you're studying, you're new in the walk, or you're just coming back, don't give up. And put yourself to accessing God's grace and hearing God's grace mentioning through understanding things like covenant relationship. Hezekiah was an example of grace to his people by acknowledging God's sovereignty. In verse 11, chapter 29, we read, "My sons, do not be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and be ministers to make offering to him." Look at the words, "the Lord has chosen you." Hezekiah is an example of God's grace by acknowledging God's sovereignty. When we understand, you hear that mentioned so much in the Hills Church because it's important. Just like the covenant relationship is so important as we study it through the Old Testament and New Testament, so is the idea of the sovereignty of God. He says, my sons, do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you. I know that Hezekiah understood the sovereignty of God, and he was leading his people to open up again back to the sovereignty of God and not to the whims of the nations, but trust God. And see, understanding the sovereignty of God was a means to open the heart of the people, of God's people, to the grace of God's faithfulness. That's why sovereignty is so important. It's not just to learn a big word. It might not be a big word to some people, but some people, sovereignty is a big word. But learning it, and I love how this is why we're in revival. You hear it in Bible studies. You hear it from the pulpit. You read it on Facebook. So much we put, God is continually opening this access to us as we understand covenant relationship and the sovereignty. So open your mind and heart to it. Let it be a habit of grace that you want to seek and understand these things that God has given us to bring His grace and His faith into our life, accessing it. So sovereignty, we see that Hezekiah was doing that. We see that studying God's word seriously became a means to return to the practice of contemplating the holiness of God. Look at chapter 29, verse 15 and 17. And they gathered their brothers, concentrated them, and went in as the king had commanded them by the words of the Lord. They hadn't heard that in 16 years. But Hezekiah said, by the word of the Lord, let's get back to God. Somebody had been reading the Bible. And they've started acting on it. And things began to happen. Verse 17, they began to consecrate on the first day of the month. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then for 8 days, they consecrated the house of the Lord. And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Listen, they were cleansing the temple as an expression of God's holiness, not for sanitary reasons. It was because they were beginning to see the holiness of God, and they began to clean the temple and make it reflect what they desired in their heart was to be holy because God is holy. This is where a revival begins, when we access ourselves to the means of God pouring His grace and faith into our life. And if we access ourselves to Him, which we are, I see it happening. I believe the fruits that I see so many different places, and you do too, is because so many of us are accessing this. Well, I want to encourage you, don't stop. It's good to be in revival, but it's not over. There's more and more to abound in God's grace. I want to see more of it, and I know that you do too. Contemplating the holiness of God, taking God's word seriously. That's what we read there, and that's the way God used Hezekiah. Then revival, just repeat this. Revival is a result of God's people accessing God's transforming grace and faith through the means that He has made available. The results. Revival is the results. When we make ourselves available to what God has given us to strengthen our faith in the transforming grace of God, it results in our life in a changed person, a heart that's willing, a heart that desires God. We see that. We look at verse 31. Then Hezekiah said, you have now consecrated yourself to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices, think offerings and thank offerings to the Lord. And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of willing heart brought burnt offerings. As they accessed them, the means, the outpouring of God's grace and faith to strengthen them, their hearts, they were given willing hearts to respond to God. These things are amazing, and we see it happening. And then the last thing, in closing, we see that prayer became an important again to God's people to strengthen God's grace and their faith in times of need and help. Prayer began to be important again. The only verse that's outside of pages 380 and 381 or chapter 29 is this verse, and it's found in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. And the end of verse 30, or the end of verse 18, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, the end of verse 18, I'm going to pick up right there. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God, the Lord, the God of his father, even though not according to the sanctuary rules for cleanness. And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. What's going on there? You have to read the whole story there. The revival was so great, they couldn't keep up with it. There wasn't enough priests, there wasn't enough Levites to handle the sacrifices. And the people came with such joyous response to the access now had been restored in the opening of the temple, access to God's word, access to prayer. The holiness of God, the sovereignty of God was being spoken about. It was so overwhelming, they couldn't do what they were doing exactly by the rules, and so they sought God in prayer and found mercy and pardon. Prayer became important again to them to find God's grace and mercy, and they found it. And God said, okay. God said, okay. And it said, and the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. Man, Hezekiah was a king of prayer. He was a man of prayer. If you can Google it and say the prayers of Hezekiah, and they're awesome. You can find them in 2 Kings 19 verses 14 through 19, 2 Kings 20, and Hezekiah was a man of prayer, and I'm sure he is behind this, of bringing this, restoring this access of prayer to the people. As he prayed himself, as an example, Hezekiah restored the means of growing strong in faith and in grace. He led his people to access the transforming grace through the means that God has given them and is available to all his people. And the result was revival. Look at the chapter 29, verse 36. This is back on page 381. And we're leading the closing verse there in chapter 29. Well, I want to pick up on the last sentence of verse 35. Thus, the service of the house of the Lord was restored. And to me, that means that the accesses that God had given his people to grow in grace and faith had been restored, right? And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because this access had been restored, and they were putting it into practice. And God provided for the people, for the thing had come suddenly about. It wasn't put on a calendar. And I believe the revival we're in has been going on and growing for years, and there's more even yet. So As I close this morning, if I could summarize this, I just want to just summarize a few of these accesses, these habits of grace that can open your life more and more to the marvelous grace that's available and faith to strengthen you as God transforms you. And that is that personal decision to be in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Understand that covenant relationship that is offered to you and me in the New Testament, the final covenant of being in covenant relationship with God. Seek to understand that. It's a means of God pouring out His grace, life-changing, like the sap of the vine into the rain. The understanding the covenant. Don't turn your mind off when you're reading it in Scriptures, when you're studying it. Turn it on. Say, God, show me things from this covenant relationship. What do you mean? I want to access this. I want to understand it. I want it to grab a hold of me. Understand what it means to have a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Then, understanding God's sovereignty. Don't turn that off as just a word. Okay, I got that. You know, I know He's in control of everything. It's much more. God's sovereignty gives us access to understanding His faithfulness. And in turn, we become more faithful to Him. You get that? The sovereignty of God is more than just saying, okay, God's in control. It's understanding God's faithfulness to His people. And the response of that is we become more faithful to Him. It's life-changing. It's access. Don't turn your mind off. Don't turn your heart. Dig in. Let God pour into you the meaning of being under His sovereign will and guidance in your life. Studying God's Word seriously. Learning to connect the dots of God's salvation history is a means to apply God's grace of contemplating His holiness and His great love to that has adopted us into the family of God. I know that so studying God's Word seriously is a habit of grace. I want to encourage you to continue if you're doing it, and then if you're not, make it a habit. But studying God's Word serious, because it connects the dot of God's salvation history, it is amazing. And I love it in Bible study, how we are connecting God. Pastor Tom is doing a great job on Wednesday of connecting the dots, how God's salvation history has come to us even now. And to understand that, whoa, God opens, it's a means of grace that God does in our life. We don't earn grace. It's a gift. God wants us to open up to the flow of His life into us, and He's given us access. It's faith in Jesus Christ, serious Bible study, understanding covenant relationship, humbling ourselves to His sovereignty and responding to His faithfulness. And lastly, we just covered prayer is God's means for His people to know His grace in times of help and confidence, and understanding that we are known, we are heard, and we are loved by the Almighty God. These are habits of grace that bring revival and fans revival into a flame. Being serious about studying God's Word, seeking to understand and submit to God's sovereignty and respond to His sovereignty, His faithfulness, with your own faithfulness to Him. And then that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I did. Now I'm back. The habits of grace is something that David Mathis, he writes a book about the habits of grace. And it was life-changing to me. I began to see, to access these things of God's grace in my life, not just as a discipline, But helping to understand that as a habit, God has poured out abundant grace and mercy in my life to strengthen me to be all that He saved me to be. And I get it not only in the personal time at home, but I get it at church. We're so blessed. I want to invite you to come, be a part of the throne, the group of people that meets in revival. Come be a part of it. It's open to God's people. And it's infectious. It is. It is. I invite you to come be a part of it. If you're already in revival like me, I'm in revival. I came off the mission field and came into revival. My God's grace has been growing in my life and strengthening me. Like I can't, you know, some people, I kind of thought sometimes too, once you come off the mission field, that's it. You know, it doesn't get better than that. It does. As we open our lives up to the things God has made available to us to receive more and more of His transforming grace in the faith that saves us and keeps us. I invite you to come be a part of that throne. Be in Bible study. Be a part of the worship. Be in prayer. Be a part of what God's doing. Let me close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd take the words today. Sometimes I can be unclear, but your word is not. Sometimes, Father, there's no words that I can find to express what I want to express. But God, your Holy Spirit never fails to take your word to accomplish the things that you intend for it to accomplish. God, we thank you for the revival that we are in, the fruits that we see. We thank you for the years that this has been growing and growing. And God, it gives us much hope and joy and anticipation of what's continuing to happen as we serve you, as we make ourselves accessible to what you have given us to grow in faith and grace. Oh, God, open our hearts more and more. Let your grace abound and our faith to grow, to be the faith that you're worthy of in all that we do and all that we say. Amen. We're going to stand now and sing a song.